Well, good morning. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. We're working our way through John chapter 17 as we begin with just setting before us our verse of the year from John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. This is the focus I want our church to have this year is to be people of God's Word, to be committed to the truth of God's Word without compromise. And I truly believe that 2024 could be a year that the church is challenged in every sphere to stand for the truth. So you kind of listen to the news and you listen to people around from every sector of society, you find that there is potentially or a fear of a great shaking coming, a shaking of every human institution, government, the medical institution, education, the family, the church. But this church and the true church of God will not be shaken if we stand on the truth. As the world quakes and crumbles around us, every foundation is laid to waste. Those who stand upon the Word of God and the truth of His Word will be separated, sanctified, made holy. And I believe that the church of God, those who put their faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Son of Man, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave His grave. I believe those who are in Him, who abide in Him and in His Word, will truly be sanctified and set apart. What an opportunity we have as followers of Jesus Christ, if we are committed to God's Word. And that is our challenge. I believe the church of God in this time will be challenged, like at least equal to any time in history, to compromise the truth. And it is my heart, and it is the heart of this body of believers, to be committed and stand for the truth no matter what the cost. Because we know that those who are committed to the truth, who do not compromise God's Word, whose very goal in life is to bring glory to the Father alone, to show His importance, will be separated, will be sanctified, made holy, that as we bear fruit in keeping with righteousness and repentance and glorify the Father, we will have meaning and purpose and joy and confidence no matter what storm we face. We've been going through John chapter 17, and this is our third message in it. And we looked at the first five verses, and we saw five transformational truths. We looked at the last two last week. Do you remember what those were? From the first five verses, the very first thing that we saw was that we have been given eternal life. This is a transformational truth. If you truly believe that you have been given eternal life, life that cannot be taken away, life in Christ, Christ alone, and that the very words of Christ, the Word of God, we have life in Him. Eternal life, life that cannot be taken away. That'll change how you look at the world, how you look at yourself. Everything will be changed. That's transformational truth number one. The second one, and we really looked at that, looked at the very gospel and how somebody can receive eternal life in Christ. We spent a lot of time last week looking at the very gospel itself, the promise of God, this good news that those who look to the Son, who believe in Him and in His work, will have life eternal. Connected to that transformational truth is the next transformational truth. And again, it's all the way through this chapter through this prayer, the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. But the second transformational truth we saw was in verse 2, where we begin to understand, and I think this is a lifelong realization, that we belong to Him. That should transform you. There are so many aspects we didn't have time to even unpack last week, and you can again explore this concept for a lifetime of what it means that you belong to Him. He is jealous for you. He will protect you, but you also are responsible to Him. You are accountable, and one day everyone will give an account of themselves before God. Why? Because we all the world is Him, His, right? But there's this unique responsibility that believers have to represent Him and His character. And we're going to, again, as we unpack this week, we're going to see some other truths that build on that concept. We have been given eternal life. We belong to Him, and there's some even more powerful truths that we'll unpack this week. Let's pray, and then we'll begin to look at this next section in John chapter 17. We'll look at verses 6 through 19, and if time allows, we'll look at the last truth found in the last part of this chapter. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for, Lord, Your word. We thank You that we have been given eternal life. We thank You that You have made known the Son. You have made known salvation in the name of Jesus. And I pray that this morning, that we as a church would, during this time of worship, just seek to know You, that we would just set aside all the distractions of our head and our heart this morning, and allow Your word to shine truth upon us so that we might respond to this calling of holiness and sanctification. Lord, I pray that we would not quench the Spirit, but that we would allow Him to work in concert with the words of Christ and the will of the Father this morning as we meditate on, as we magnify the very word of God this morning that was given as such a beautiful gift to us, disciples of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, we noted when we began chapter 17 that this is a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it can be divided into three sections. The first section, verses 1 through 5, which we considered last week, Jesus prayed for Himself, and we unpacked that. We found our first transformational truths. Then there's the second section here where Jesus prays for His disciples, the apostles, those who were committed to following Him in the first century. And He begins this prayer here, the second section of this prayer, in verse 6. It continues through verse 19. Would you read it with me? I have manifested Your name to the people You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. You can see, again, this transformational truths, the ones we already saw, they continue through this entire prayer. We belong to Him. Now they know that everything that You have given Me is from You. For I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You. And they have believed that You sent Me. I am praying for them. And I am praying for the world, and I am not praying for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. All Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You, Holy Father. Keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Would you read this next verse with me, our verse of the year? Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrated myself that they also might be sanctified in truth. Transformational truth, number 3. And I think we see it very clearly in verse 6 and also verse 11 and throughout here. But it is this, that God has made known or manifested your name. Christ has manifested your name to the people. We know his name. We know his name. This should change you. This truth should sanctify you, set you apart. Let me explain. Several years ago, now, well, this year we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, but a long time ago, I was newly married and trying to get used to married life in a number of ways, and I was at home. We hadn't been married very long, and I was doing something, and I needed to speak to Amy. And I thought, I'll just give her a call. You know, she was working as a nurse at Mercy Hospital in the Pittsburgh area, and so I'm just going to give her a quick call and ask her. Maybe she could help me out. So I got out the phone, and I called the floor on which she was working, 6-something. What was it, hon? Do you remember? 6 McLaughlin. And so I call up to the floor at Mercy Hospital, and it's like, hello, is Amy there? They're like, Amy who? Amy Hurst. Some of you are laughing. And they're like, no. It's like, are you sure? Like, who? Amy Hurst. No, she's not. No, she's not here. It's like, what do you mean she's not here? She should have been there 3 hours ago. Well, is she a patient? No, she's a nurse. Is this 6 McLaughlin? Yes, this is 6 McLaughlin. Are you sure Amy Hurst is not? No, absolutely. Let me ask you. You know what Amy Hurst is? I was like, and I'm like, where is she? I'm beginning to panic. And I was like, are you sure Amy's not there? And I said, there is no Amy Hurst that works here. I was like, well, how long have you worked there? Well, I've been working here for several years. I'm like, what in the world's going on? I hang up the phone and I'm sitting, you know, thinking, beginning to panic. Where is my wife? And then all of a sudden, I realized Amy Hurst, Amy Hackney, she had a new name. I didn't know her name. And then I realized, I got to call back. So I waited about 5 or 10 minutes, and I called back.
Hello, it's Amy Hackney there.
It's important that you know who you're calling on, the name of the one you call. I think we just need to pray right now. We know his name. Don't you forget his name. Believers in Jesus Christ, we know his name in an intimate way. His name is synonymous with our name. The book of Revelation says that he writes his name on our foreheads, sanctifying us, separating us, sealing us, just like we've been sealed by the Spirit to the day of our redemption. His name is on us and in us. We have intimate knowledge of his name. We know his name. We don't just know of his name. Do you know the name of the one on whom you call? One of the most important commandments given from Sinai, written by the very finger of God, is the command to not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I've shared with this church that I believe for many centuries, most who claim to call upon the name of the Lord do not understand the full significance of this command. And that our application of the command to keep the name of the Lord is only a tertiary expression of its true intent and calling to sanctification and holiness. Now, I believe that when we speak the name of the Lord, we should do it with reverence, that we should guard our lips not to speak his name in an irreverent manner or without understanding its holiness and its separation from every other name. And yes, I believe it is a great blasphemous sin to speak the name of the Lord in a vain or profane way. But I believe the true heart of this commandment to keep the name of the Lord your God is so much more. What that intent of this, or the understanding, is to carry the name, to bear the name of the Lord your God. And what this call from Sinai was, is God gave the people of Israel his holy law from Sinai. It was an expression of his holiness, his character, and righteousness. And they were going to represent the very light and truth of God and his law to the nations. They were going to be a kingdom of priests. That was their calling. They were going to be children of light. And this was the call from Sinai. Take my law, take my righteousness and my holiness, take my name and carry it to the nations. Be a light unto the Gentiles so that one day every tongue, tribe, and nation would be able to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And so as the people received the tablets of stone, the law of God, this great weight fell upon them. And the law of God and the word of God was synonymous with the name of God and his character and his reputation. And so this command, do not bear my name in a vain manner. Understand, when you enter in covenant with me, when you connect your reputation with me, when you declare that you are a follower of the name above every name, that you are carrying that name to the nations, and do not do that in vanity. Understand, O Israel, what you are doing this day at the foot of Sinai. As I shake the mountains with my voice, when I make known my character and my holiness and righteousness to this nation, understand, do not enter this covenant in vanity, because you will carry my name and my holiness and my word to the nations, and this will separate you. Every one of these commandments was meant to sanctify the nation of Israel and set them apart in the way they lived. And most important was to understand that they were going to be showing the nations the very character and law of God as they entered in covenant to him. And the other nations were going to be watching and wondering, who is this God that they follow out of Egypt? We know his word. We know his name. We know his son. In fact, even today, we call ourselves what? Christians. Don't carry that name in vanity. Don't bear that name in vanity. Don't separate that name from the very holy, pure law of God, from the Word of God. The Word of God is synonymous with the name of God. And so, dear child of God, never forget that you have intimate knowledge of His name, the Son, that you represent the Son to the nations. You represent His law and His standard of holiness to the nations. And it should separate you. It should sanctify you. Understand what you did when you called upon the name of the Lord, when you entered into covenant with Him. It was like this marriage. You are the bride of Christ in His name forevermore, for eternity. His name was upon you, written on your forehead, so that when people see you, they should see the very character of God, the very holiness of God, the very righteousness of God, the very love of God, the very mercy of God, the very forgiveness of God, the patience, your salt and light. Philippians 2:9, therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him a name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory, here's that word, glory, of God the Father. And we unpacked that word glory. Remember when we talked about glorifying the dipstick, the importance of something? We talked about changing your oil and making sure, you know, that's a really important thing. You know, check the oil, the dipstick, and it's so important. And you got to remember, if you don't continue to understand the importance of oil in your car, you're going to see catastrophic failure. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that idea of glorifying something is showing its importance, and we need to live as the way that we understand the very name that we carry, the name of Christ upon us, His testimony, and the way we live, we show His importance in every aspect of our life, because His reputation, His name is important. This is a transformational truth. We first must understand the importance of the name. We must understand the name on which all call on for salvation. There's another aspect of this transformational truth that we know His name. This name in verse 11 tells us that it sanctifies us or keeps us. In verse 12, it guards us. This should change us. Transform us. It's a transformational truth. The very name of God seals you to the day of redemption. It guards you, separates you, sanctifies you. When you are threatened to despair, remember the name upon which you have been given, a name that is above every name. About a year ago, there's a young lady in here that took the name Hackney upon her. See, I'm going to embarrass her. I used to tease her because it took a little time to get that name completely legally transferred to Hackney. And they said, well, you're not really one of ours until you get that name, you know, until it's Marissa Hackney. And again, same thing. I remember trying to call her one day, Marissa McCulloch. Again, my phone wasn't working and I couldn't find it. I was like, I thought I had her name. And we had changed it to Marissa Hackney. But now she has the name Hackney connected to her. You mess with Marissa, you're messing with me. The whole Hackney clan's going to come after you. She's a Hackney now. That name, Hackney, guards her and keeps her with this jealousy. She is a part of our family, and we're going to protect her in connection to this aspect that we are His, and He is ours, and that we are in relationship. Attack on one Hackney is an attack on all Hackneys. And this name of Christ that we know and that our name is synonymous with, it guards us and keeps us, it sanctifies us and separates us. It shows God's responsibility to us, His commitment to us. It reminds us that there is a covenant that has been entered into. This name keeps us and guards us. That should be such an encouragement. And again, Revelation 22, verse 4, they will see His face and His name will be on their foreheads. Not only does this name sanctify, keep, or guard us, it unifies us. Verse 12, that they may be one, even as we are one. And in verse 26, we see that the name fills us with love. All the way down through the prayer, this name, we haven't read that section, but I just want to read this verse. It said, I've made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me with may be in them, and I in them. It unifies us, and it guards us, and it fills us with his love. Transformational truth number 4 is found in verse 8. We have his word. We have his word. And you see the connection of all these truths. We have his word. For I have given them the words that you gave me. Verse 13, we see this word gives us joy. Just like the very name fills us with his love. In verse 26, the people of God, those who have been sanctified, set apart from this world, have this joy and this love and this peace. Because they know the truth, and this truth has set them free. The very word of God, verse 13, gives us joy. Where he says, these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. His word not only gives us joy, but his word is truth. Not only do we have the word, we have what? The truth. Again, this is the theme verse of the year, verse 17. Sanctify, set them apart in the truth. What is the truth? Your word is truth. It is the truth of God's word that, like no other thing, will separate us, sanctify us from the world. You cannot be committed to the truth of God's word and just blend in. Those who are committed to living out God's truth, his righteous character in their hearts, will automatically bear fruit in keeping with repentance and expose us as children of God. Our works will be exposed to the world, just as those who are children of the devil's works will expose them to the Father. Our works will expose us to the world, where even Jesus says, and so prove to be my disciples. We have the truth. We are not in the world, we are in the world, but not of the world. Remember last year when we considered John 15, verse 19 has the same concept. If you were of the world would have loved you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Very similar to what he's saying here in chapter 17. Verse 14, we find, because of the Father's love for us, because of our commitment to his holy standard, in verse 14, we find that this puts, while it guards us, it also puts a target on our back. And those who are committed to the standard of God will be hated by the world. And again, I wonder... Doesn't take much to wonder. Maybe many of you wonder what this year has to hold for those who are committed to the truth of God's word. I don't think that this commitment to the truth of God's word is going to make us popular or more loved. I believe a commitment to the truth of God's word will put a target on your back, and you will face the very wrath of man. While we may face the wrath of man, we will never face the wrath of God if we are committed to the name and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 15 reminds us that this truth keeps us safe. It protects us. It's a transformational truth. Just like in verse 31 of chapter 8, this truth sets us free. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. challenge to this church this year is to be committed to the name and the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ, to live in purity and holiness, in confidence, without compromise. Be willing to stand for the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't fear the one who can harm your body, right? But fear the one who holds your soul and can condemn your soul to death and hell. Good news that we have eternal life, life that can't be taken away. Our final truth is found in verse 22, but let's look at this last section of the prayer here. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only. Again, this previous section applied to the disciples at Jesus' time, but also applies to us, things that were said in the last, even though he prayed it over his disciples, it also applies to us. But this last section here, specifically to you and I today, Jesus looked into the future. He prayed for you and I. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the words of the disciples, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Oh, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know them, I know them, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Final transformational truth is found in this section, especially we see it in verse 22 in the phrase, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. We share His glory. We share His glory. Being united with Christ and the Father gives you and I eternal significance and purpose. Every day when you are committed to the name and the testimony of Jesus Christ, you are transformed. You are given eternal significance and purpose. And the more you are committed to the name and the testimony of Jesus Christ, bearing that name and that testimony to the nations so that they can be reconciled, redeemed, renewed, restored, share in the life that we have been given. When you live according to that purpose, your life matters. Remember when we began the series, we talked about every choice you make is ultimately a search for meaning and purpose in the day. Every choice that you make is ultimately a search for meaning and purpose. If you weren't here, it's simply illustrated in the fact that some of you stumbled out of bed to find coffee first thing in the morning because you believe you're searching for comfort. Or some, you know, you're just, what is my purpose to just be comforted? Or you, what you watch on TV, what you read, where you go, every choice you make is ultimately a search for meaning and purpose. But there is this thing that we must keep before us, this truth that we must keep before us. We must be willing to sacrifice every other desire, every other pursuit for a pursuit of Christ, a pursuit of holiness. Even Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. And when we are committed to the will of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, everything we do has eternal significance. And knowing that gives us joy and peace, because everything else that we had chased may fall away or be taken away, but you can't take away that treasure in heaven and our desires to show the importance of God to the world in our life, the way we live. We are important to the world. Even if the world doesn't see our importance, we recognize our own importance. Our job is to show, to glorify His importance. Your importance does not come from the world or from men. It comes from the Father in heaven. We are important to the Father and the Son. Verse 26 reminds us that He dearly loves us. We are unified in His presence, and we are unified in His purpose. Has knowing the gospel changed you? Has calling upon the name of the Lord made a difference? Are you struggling in despair and lack of meaning and purpose and depression and anxiety? Maybe it's because you've heard these truths, but you don't know them. And our challenge and our prayer this morning and as a church is that you would know the name of Christ, that you would know the person of Jesus Christ, and this intimate knowledge of Him would unify you with Him and glorify the Father.